The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Fight for freedom,
freedom and the soul of the USA.
Right here, right now, it's Independence Day.
All right.
Washington, D.C.
Good afternoon, ladies and whoops. My headphones were turned down. Well, yes, it's a Friday. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Statmiller. Go ahead and give him a call right now. He says, call now. I guess he was on the air until right up at 6 o'clock. I'm sorry, say again. No, it's Skype. Well, keep bashing your head. He's there. He's still in studio. If he sees it on the screen, all he has to do is click on it, and he'll be with us presently. If not, come on in here. Let me give you his cell phone number. Okay. All right. Excuse me, folks. I can't multitask here and spell at the same time. How the hell do people drive and text at the same time? Oh, boy. All right. All right, he sent him a message. You got him? All right. Sorry about that, folks. A little confusing. At any rate, I'm going to have on Kim Wade. A listener sent me an email, said, you know what? You ought to get this guy on. So that's what I'm going to do today. Now, it's very interesting. Kim Wade is a conservative Republican. He's down in Jackson, Mississippi. He's been doing a show on WYAB for at least 6-plus years. And his audience is comprised, let me make sure here of what I speak. It's about a 60-40 split, 60% white, 40% black. That listens to his radio show. He's on 5 days a week. And what's interesting about this is being a black conservative, one-time Muslim, now back to Christianity, it's been a very interesting ride. He's been doing radio, I guess, for 25 years. And, you know, he started out over at WMPR 90.1 FM. It was 100,000 water in Jackson. And he talked to him about a need for a conservative radio show. Well, he was persistent. And after about a year, they relented. But he had to pay $150 per show. And he was on the air for 7 years and paid over $28,000 out of his own pocket. and then he went on and was eventually picked up by WJNT News Talk 1180, another torch, 50 kW AM in Jackson. Spent, I guess, 9 years there before going to a two-hour show on WYAB 103.9 in January 2011. We're burning time here, Mike. What's the problem? Let me get on the... he can just do it by phone for right now. If he's got a charge in his cell phone. Radio really hates silence. Just give him our Skype number and have him Skype us. Okay, well, I just like this taken care of before the bottom of the hour, you know. That's all. At any rate. So, you know, yesterday's show, I don't know if you all were here. Most of you probably were. And I've been interviewing Gerald Celente, gosh, I don't know for how many years now. And he popped this direct democracy thing on me. And I don't think he quite thought this through. And I suspect he's on the Progressive Radio Network. And I suspect that, I don't want to use the term contamination, but after dealing with people with better ideas and being progressive and, you know, a little bit liberal around the edges, you know, I can see how maybe his opinions have been swayed. I don't know. But I'm going to, before I have him on next month, I'll send him over some refresher stuff, and I'm sure we'll hash this out. You know, my gut reaction to that was, gee, Gerald, Mr. Celente, what are you doing? All right, you linked up? Okay, let's go. Kim Wade.
How you doing, sir?
I am, you know, I couldn't be finer if I was frog hair in Carolina. How are you doing?
It's green lights and blue skies here in Mississippi.
You know, I was just getting most of your bio out there to the listeners, and very interesting road in which you have traveled. Very interesting. You've been in and around radio on some pretty big torches down there around Mississippi, and you've been doing this for, ironically, you've been doing this for as long as I've been on air, 25 years.
Yeah, I kind of backed into it, but at the end of the day, it's an outlet for my views and concerns. It kind of keeps you off the top of a 17-story building with a high-powered rifle, being able to air your viewpoints daily, so I like talk radio.
Well, you've been on WYAB, what, 6-plus years now?
Right, that's right, and I think about 11 prior to that, and about another 9 or 10 the last place I was, the first place I was. I started out on public radio, and Charles Evers, the brother of the slain civil rights leader Mega Evers, is stationed there, and started out purchasing time just to air my viewpoint, which is conservative viewpoint, and here in Mississippi, being a black who's conservative, I was not well received, but, you know, I plowed on because it's not exhibitionism. I actually believe in the conservatism that I was espousing. In fact, that's what I learned at the dinner table all these years, you know, so.
Well, and that's another part of the story that, you know, you were the 11th, the last child of a 11-child family.
That's right.
Your dad, Willie, and your mother, Carolyn, you got a benefit out of that I didn't have. I didn't have a father around, so I had a mother that had to play daddy and mommy at the same time. I probably ended up in my childhood with way too many problems that were self-created that might have been necessary. But what they did is, you know, you guys never complained about race or racism. And they never came home downcast and dispirited and passed all this stuff off to you. And you were never told what your limitations were.
And, that's correct.
And you got this conservative message at your dinner table along with your siblings. And there you were off and running in your life. You were a young man just busting out on this mortal coil to live out what we're calling life. And it's been getting harder and harder to do.
There's no question about that. But like I said, I didn't realize the importance of what I had received at the dinner table until I got out there and saw all these divergent viewpoints that basically did not affirm life. And, you know, when you're young, you buy into a lot of liberal ideals and concepts, and I did some of the same things. As you saw there, I spent some time in the Nation of Islam. And at that point in my life, Minister Farrakhan spoke to during our baccalaureate during commencement week. And he said something that really touched me and my youthful spirit of wanting to see things done and accomplished and a better life for blacks and others. And he said something, he said something during his speech. He said, there's no unemployment problem in the black community. He said, there's an attitude problem. He said, there's probably a problem for you if you have the attitude that you're not going to do any work until somebody paid you a certain amount of money, but there's plenty of work to be done. And that resonated with me, you know. And so I bought into the whole do-for-self mantra that was espoused by the Nation of Islam. So I joined the Nation of Islam that Saturday after his commencement speech, the baccalaureate speech that Thursday night. And from there, like I said, I spent 15 years associated with Brother Minister, as we called him. And that was during the time of the Atlanta child murder, so there was a lot going on during that time period.
Well, and but what was it to, you know, it was a good do-it-yourself type thing. Don't wait on somebody to do something that it is your charge and your duty and your responsibility for your own life to do for yourself. But what caused that, you know, that's a good message, but what caused you to draw away from that?
Well, actually, it was there's an old saying, I forgot actually who's attributed to. They says that every cause will turn into a movement, and every movement will turn into a business, and every business will eventually turn into a racket. And I think that we had gotten to the racket stage there in our relationship with the Brother Minister. They had rolled out a series of products called Clean and Fresh, which the Nation of Islam was selling deodorant and body soaps and toiletries, etc. And they had a manufacturer who was basically producing these products at cost. And, of course, we were the distribution network. And it turned out that even with all those advantages, we couldn't seem to turn a profit. And I'm saying, now, wait a minute now. You know, we're ahead of the game. If you're getting your product made at cost and you're able to distribute it for free, there's a lot of margin in there. You should be able to pick up some profit. So I don't have the real ins and outs as far as forensic accounting as what was going on, but I had enough horse sense to realize that, you know, this stuff was not papering out. And I'm saying, well, I'm paying taxes to the IRS in Washington, D.C., and I'm paying a tax to the Nation of Islam in Chicago. I got too many people in my pocket. So I just kind of started going away, because as you get older and the storms of life get to beating on your door, you get to realizing when you're sitting across the table from the Grim Reaper, you're looking for grace and mercy. You're not looking for the militancy which attracted me to the Nation of Islam during my youth.
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
Well, and I once heard the line, and I can't attribute it either. It's just stuck in my head that all you can do when death smiles at you is just smile back.
That's right. That's right.
It is what it is, as they say.
That's right. When your number's up, it's up.
There you go. Well, by the way, it's interesting. So you got out of Islam and you went back to Christianity. I saw that your resume, that you actually sent your resume off to the Trump White House.
Yeah, they were soliciting people who were Trump supporters to offer their services to behalf of this administration. And I felt like I could be of assistance in the housing arena. I had spent all these years in the real estate industry, and I felt like I could help Ben Carson over there. I hadn't gotten a reply back, but, you know, I sent the paperwork. They missed the opportunity, I would like to think.
Well, there was one of our own talk show hosts. Are you familiar with Pastor Manning?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I have not spoken with him, but I've watched his videos.
Well, I'm sure he would love to talk to you. I'd very much like to put you in touch with him. He actually had, pre-Trump election, he actually had over an hour meeting with Donald Trump.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and it was very interesting. You know as well as I do. You've been in a business world. You've moved around. You got enough, and I'm with you on this thing. When you're young, you don't have any experience. You don't have anything to draw on. We're all wide-eyed and eager, running at Mach 3 with our hair on fire. And, you know, there are mistakes that are made. This is called growth. You learn from your mistakes and move on. That's called knowledge base and experience.
Right.
And he told me off air, he said, look, John, he said, when I sat down and talked to him, he says he wasn't just there in his presence. He was there mentally, just not physically.
Right.
He was tuned in to everything we were saying. And you always have this idea when people are starting to glaze over, or they'll put the imminent front on and make you believe that they're actually listening to you and they're actually staring right through you, wondering what they're going to have for dinner. But that wasn't Trump in this meeting. He was very attentive. And stuff that was brought up during the meeting, he referred to back later. So I had absolutely no doubt. You know, this thing about Trump being a racist. Yeah, was he more of a liberal Democrat before he turned Republican? Yeah. But very interesting in the developments. I spoke with you yesterday, and the developments today, old Steve Bannon has been bounced.
Yeah, Steve has been shown the door. He's found the door, one of the two.
Well, and that's kind of interesting because Steve Bannon helped create the platform on which Donald Trump ran on.
Right.
And I'm looking at this now, and I got to tell you, my gut instinct here, Kim, I'm watching the people that are around Trump now, and what's being eliminated are the people with the agenda that he ran on.
Right.
Steve Bannon was big on border enforcement, deportation of the illegals, reducing the number of aliens wanting to get into the country. And here we go again. Here's an important part of who Donald Trump was and is being moved to the side.
Well, that's certainly a take that could be reasonably made from Bannon's departure and all the others. But I would just remind people, this president is basically, with the exception of our prayers and our Lord and Savior being on his side, he's basically alone up there. And it's hard for him to figure out who to trust. You know,
man, is he alone. I'm telling you. By the way, I don't know if you caught wind of this or not. Let me bring this up during the break. We're going to take about a 3-minute break here, Kim.
Okay.
So stand by. Folks, well, I'm not going to take any phone calls this hour. I'm sure Kim, unless we get into a big fisticuffs by the end of this program, I'm sure Kim Wade will come back on with us. And so we're not going to take any calls this hour. I want to lay out some groundwork here and cover some issues. All righty, let's take the break, folks. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Talking with Kim Wade today. He's down there in Jackson, Mississippi, and I guess you can't get any more deeper south than that, Kim.
That's right. We're here in the subtropics, as it were, but actually we've got it pretty good down here in Mississippi. Life is good here.
Well, it's a little hot here in central Texas. We've been breaking over 102, 103. Yeah, but this is August, but it's a dry heat.
It hasn't been that hot here as it normally has been over the summers, but this has been a pretty mild summer as far as they go.
Good for you and bad for us, because we're cooking here in central Texas.
You guys are certainly saturated down here.
By the way, your show on WYAB, you're on from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time?
That's right, Monday through Fridays, 4 to 6, WYAB.com, that's correct.
And on there, do you have your shows archived?
Actually, we don't. For legal reasons, we figure if somebody's going to sue us, they're going to have to catch us on the fly. Cause, you know, we can be, cutting edge, if you will.
Yeah, but that sword swings both ways. The reason why you're hearing everybody in the alternative media, oh my gosh, I used the alt term there.
Uh-oh.
In the alternative media, and actually I've been deemed the godfather of alternative media. That's how long I've been.
Oh, that means you got a Confederate flag somewhere.
Oh yeah, I just love. You know, I live in a mixed neighborhood. Mm-hmm. The guy across the street from me, I live on a street corner. The guy on the other street corner is a Williamson County, Texas deputy. He's black. The guy across the street from him, He's Mexican, and we got a mixed neighborhood. And guess what? We all talk to each other.
Get along. Well, that's not going to stand. You're going to have to. You have to do something to earn your stripes as being an alt-right poop, I guess.
Well, I guess if I put up the battle flag and don't tread on me, and I stand out there in my Hitler uniform doing Zig Heil, maybe I can get a reaction out of somebody.
For sure.
Yeah. Hey, look. The reason I ask is because. The reason I use a time identifier, you weren't around at the top of the hour, and I tell people, you know, or a date identifier, rather, I'm not, anything that I say on air, I mean, I'll say to anybody in private or personal conversations in an email on the air,
right.
I really don't care because here we're for the Republic, not this democracy they're cooking up for us, based on law, based on the Constitution. So I use that. Basically, that's our recording. If I ever be taken into a federal court for whatever reason, we've got a record, and it's on several different servers. So if they go in and try to smash it or do whatever, in other words, I'll be able to put up a defense that can't be cherry-picked or taken out of context.
Right. I certainly understand that. And again, you know, I'm, as you know, at will employment, and I try to be mindful. I try to have my positions grounded in facts and or the law. But, you know, we're a one-horse operation here, operating in the black. And we just, you know, just be mindful of it. But, you know, there's a method to the madness. Everybody has their level of comfort.
That wasn't an unintended joke, was it?
No.
Oh, okay. You said operating in the black.
Double entendre there.
I always ask people their motivations.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do the things that you did? Why, specifically, you got to have a passion. You know, I've seen people come and go in radio. I've seen them where they've gone in for the reasons I chose not to take, for fame or fortune. You know, I'm not a Sean Hannity getting $30 million a year on big contracts. I'm not a Rush Limbaugh on 500 right. stations. And my quest was never money. And the type of programming that we put out, it has been my experience that there are ne'er-do-wells out there, people working behind the scenes, let's say. If we did get a radio program on a station, there were phone calls were made or going, oh, well, they're racist or they're this or we're going to start boycotting your station. And
right.
and for a small station like you're on down there in Jackson, mm-hmm. you know, as you described a one-man band down there, you start getting 50, 100 protesters out there with placards and then them calling your advertisers. And, you know, it can cause a lot of consternation. I understand your position down there with your audience. Right. You're pretty well entrenched down there. But it has caused us problems in the past. Let me get a snapshot because I didn't hear your program today. But let's take this bottom of the hour break. And when we get back, I want to get a snapshot since you're about a 60-40 audience down there in Jackson, Mississippi.
Right.
The topics that you've been obviously covering and some of the feedback that you've been getting on air. All right, let's take the bottom of the hour break here. We're with Kim Wade down there at WYAB, WYAB.com, down in Jackson, Mississippi.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Nutramedical's New True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go.
Oh, the venerable Steve Aus, talk radio. Folks, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the reason why he wrote that song, yours truly. He found out that I interviewed him one day, and he says, oh, gosh, you do radio? Oh, that's great, and I'll write you a song. So he did.
Hey, poor guy.
Yeah, he is. He was one of the guys, by the way, that was in the clique, so to speak. He was with RCA Records. And they started to listen to his other music, and once they found out what this guy really believed, they canceled his contracts. Go figure. That doesn't happen in America.
No.
Okay, down there today, I'm sure the phone lines were lit up. You do a live call-in down there. Subject matter today, what were you all talking about?
Well, here in Mississippi, the Legislative Black Caucus has sent a letter to the governor requesting that he hold a special session to address the Confederate flag, or I should say the Mississippi state flag, which has the Confederate emblem as part of the entire flag. And he basically just ignored it. He threw it in the garbage can, which I agree with. There was a vote on the flag, 15, 20 years ago, and it was 2-1 Mississippians voting in favor of keeping the state flag as it was, not changing it. And these soreheads want to basically revoke the issue, or better yet, by legislative fiat, do away with the existing flag. They had the opportunity to get their folks to the polls on game day and vote. They didn't do it. They're just lazy, and at the end of the day, they want somebody else to do the heavy lifting for them when all they have to do is get out to the polls and oppose the flag. They didn't do it.
Well, I'm sure. Let me get back to my website because I wanted to pull up this story. I don't know if you're aware of this, coming out of Missouri. I'll get to the story here in a second, but we've got people that are calling literally for Donald Trump's head. I mean, more than literally. They're coming out and saying, you know, we want him dead. We want him dead.
This government has taken, now we talked about this on today's show. Let's face it. Our government has once again chosen sides. And not just the government, but the government in general, but in particular the Democrat Party. Every group of people in this country that has ever been put upon by legislative and government fiat has been at the behest of some Democrat-controlled government or elected official, whether it be the Indians, the women, blacks, whoever. It's always been Democrats who have gotten together and said, these are bad people. We all should hate them, and let's pass laws saying the same.
Identity politics.
And this woman here in Missouri, she's been emboldened by the last 8 years under Barack Obama and encouraged by the folks who supported Hillary Clinton, the media, and Rhino Republicans, which is basically the Uniparty there in D.C., that they have a right, because they're not happy, to do anything they want to basically take over this government, which is what they're trying to do. This is a coup in slow motion.
Well, it's a little bit more than that. I mean, you pointed out that Ronald Reagan, you know, blacks in this country were not looking for the back door. They were looking for the black door. That Ronald Reagan, he just spoke across the spectrum, and he was about jobs and people taking responsibility, rolling up their sleeves, going to work, the good stuff.
Right.
But somehow, some of these people are not getting the idea that, you know, socialism is not a good thing. We have had, and this is the kind of conversations that are not taking place. Some people have mentioned it. I think even Donald Trump has mentioned it, that he was talking about the inner cities, and he was talking about the power structure, the Democrat power structure, that was basically going nowhere, spending one hell of a lot of money and making a hell of a lot of noise, but nothing ever got better. There weren't better schools. There weren't more job opportunities. There wasn't anything. But all of this time and energy and money just being sucked down into this black hole, and that was it. And no pun intended there.
Right. Well, you know, and this is where we are today, and I think this is what we're going to see come out of all this hullabaloo about the flag and the statues, et cetera, is that somebody just needs to tell my people, cut the crap. We spent enough money. We've said we're sorry. And let me just say this here. In Kim's opinion, America has made a valiant effort to try to right the wrongs of the past. Okay? Has it been perfect? That's debatable. Some could say yes, some could say no. But the bottom line is, it has been an honest effort. You have people who don't want to basically turn these extensions of hands of help and opportunities into real productivity. People want to see progress. Nobody has any problem. It's just like you. I know I've been a beneficiary throughout my life of people who helped me simply because I was about the business of trying to help myself. You know, people want to sow into good ground, but we got this notion, we've gone into the dead man's lift where we don't want to do anything. You just got to pick us up all with using every ounce of strength you have, as opposed to us doing something we can to lighten the load. And I just think it's time for people to treat black people like adults. Just say, hey, pound sand. We're not doing any more of this foolishness. We're not co-signing this insanity.
Well, and the government has, you know, I've heard before that the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Right.
And I've seen the government just do all sorts of things for supposedly the people. But I've seen them involved in stuff. You know, you and I were talking earlier, and I said of Donald Trump, you know, I do not like Mr. Mike Pence. People in Indiana don't like Mike Pence either. And I thought the better choice for recognition, a political platform, given a name, that it would have been better off if he would have chosen Ron Paul as being the vice president, because there was Dr. No on Capitol Hill. He got that tag name because he never voted on anything that was unconstitutional. If he and on every bill that's voted on, Kim, in the Congress, there's a checkbox there that's specifically to be checked. Right. And what part of the Constitution is this under? So right. We've had a government that's created Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, welfare programs. The list goes on and on and on and on. And right now, and I was low on this number, I said $42 trillion Social Security is in the hole right now. It's closer to $46 trillion. Now, right. You look at Medicare, Medicaid, it's like $110, $112 trillion in the hole. I mean, this is absolutely insane. And then we have a government that wants to give us a national health care. And the very people that crafted a bill a couple of years ago and voted on it in Congress, they could have done the same thing under Donald Trump. I did not like his message of repeal and replace. The government's already been in health care. They've been doing this for a number of years. It's called the Veterans Administration. And look at the damn mess in that. Wasteful. I mean, it's ridiculous. And he's attacking that and doing some good there. But there's this mentality is we're the all-knowing, all-seeing. We're the wise. You people out there, just calm down. We'll get around to everybody, and everybody will get some. Well, get some what? There's nothing left. It's bankrupt. We're borrowing for everything into the future.
Well, you're right on all points. One of the things, I mean, we have to be cautious, because we can get the idea confused with possible and what's actually possible. As my friend would say, we're going to sacrifice the good at the altar of the perfect. Ron Paul would certainly be a candidate that would be reliable in terms of defending our constitutional rights and the Constitution. Whether or not he could have got us through that the juncture, which would be the nominating process either for the Republican nomination or the actual winning the election in terms of being able to bring in the electoral votes that are needed. Now, he would have been ideal in terms of the ideology and the philosophy that we, the American people, believe in, as I call it, Christian patriots and redneck. But we also have to realize that we've got to get past that point.
Christian patriots and rednecks.
Well, you know, John, listen, if this country's going to be saved, it's going to be saved by Christian patriots and rednecks, because nobody else gives a damn.
Yeah.
Everybody else want to ride old Lady Liberty down into the dirt, rape her, and turn her up on her face. It's the Christians, it's the patriots and rednecks who are going to lock and load and basically do the heavy lift. I hope it doesn't come to that, but if it does, again, and we're the biggest threat. We're the threat to the one world order. We're the threat to everything they're trying to do. That's why what they're doing to Donald Trump is what they will do to us individually if we don't win this battle. So when all those people want to bail on Trump because he's not perfect in this area or that area, all these things may be so. But as they say in the racing industry, you got to run what you brung. And we brought Donald Trump to the dance.
Well, I don't like to pick on people's, I'll just come out and say it. I refer to as the piano-legged lesbian, the one Hillary Clinton. This creature.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The Clinton Foundation, I'm hearing nibblings now that, well, you know, maybe the Justice Department is going to be investigating and maybe there'll be some charges brought. But then we hear that there's already a deal made when she's not even been indicted. Now, how does that work in the legalese realm here in America? How can you be given a deal when charges haven't even been preferred?
Well, and see, again, that's where we are in this country. We've entered the last phase of our what this republic that we call a republic. We're on the last stages, and it could go either way. It's almost like being a recovering hooligan, being in a 12-step program, stuck on number six. We can go either way. You and I have to fight the good fight and realize that Donald Trump, while he may not be the ideal president, if he doesn't win, if he doesn't be, and I believe he's got the fortitude to stay in there, but what all this came about because Jeff Sessions basically opened up his flank and his backside by recusing himself. That opened the door for all this. And I'm not, and I like Jeff Sessions. I think he's doing a great job on the border and on the wall, yada, yada, yada. But he's been in Washington, D.C. long enough to know. And I'm all for the genteel gentleman type thing. But he also know that he those people in Washington, D.C. are a pack of hyenas. And President Trump had nobody else to defend him but Jeff Sessions. And when he recused himself, he opened all of us up to what we're getting.
I mentioned this, and I want to go back to this. This Missouri State Senator, right, who represents the Missouri's 14th district, she made the now deleted, and there are people out there that know how to do snapshots, the comment in response to a man who claimed his cousin is a Secret Service agent. Now, she quickly deleted the post, but not before screenshots have hit Twitter and other social media outlets. She said, and here's her explanation. Now, well, first, let me read you, ladies and gentlemen, the tweet that she put out. And this is a Christopher Gagné, and I guess this is the cousin of the Secret Service agent that was texting her. And Maria Chappelle Nadell, she responded by saying, "No, I will. I hope Trump is assassinated." Now, forgive me for bringing this up, ladies and gentlemen, but Barack Obama had 8 years as presidency, and did I hear any people running around going, "Well, we're just going to shoot that guy. You know, right. he's a this and he's a that, or he's black or he's a socialist." Nobody in this country that I can remember or stories that I've heard were running around threatening to shoot Barack Obama. What do you think would have happened in the controlled and owned media in this country, Kim, if somebody would have done that?
Oh, it would be wall-to-wall coverage and condemnation, and the bony finger of indignation would be pointed at that person and all those who they think may be associated with him. There would be demands for denunciations and repudiations, et cetera. And, but the president, Trump, is being picked on primarily because he is white. That's the bottom line. I mean, it is open season on whites. It's open season on white males. And we just need to realize that the government picks winners and losers. And they think that they can ride, they being the international bankers, the world globalists, or whoever you want to call them. I just call it the party of Satan. Think that they can ride this thing. Again, America represents a threat to the dominion that Satan wants in this world. This is just the age-old battle between good and evil, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and I have covered that subject matter on my program more than once, and a lot of this is, not everybody is on Satanist camp, or not everybody's on that wagon, but, you know, I've heard people argue before, well, the Illuminist or the New World Order, give it a name, give it a tag, I don't care. You know, they're not all this or they're not all that. Well, there's a lot of people have piled in on this thing because it's a way of doing business. And I simply boiled down the New World Order. Aside from its hidden agenda, this was a vehicle to do transnational business, to knock down barriers, to change the sovereignty and the law within the countries, respectively, to a great degree, in some cases lesser, but in greater degrees. But it was about joining this worldwide business cabal, and that's how it was promoted. It was called free trade. And just today, and that's another thing, by the way, Kim, Steve Bannon, he wanted to see import taxes on foreign goods coming into this country. We have literally allowing the Chinese to ship goods into this country. We're really building their military and modernizing it to potentially one day compete with the United States, not only in economic power, but military power.
Well, you know, that's again in the air. To me, it's almost like being in a room of swinging daggers hanging from the ceiling, and you got all these different ones that could slice and dice you from, you know, any angle. The Chinese, you said something earlier about the debt and all these things, and all this goes back to the fact that this is just a big monopoly game these people are playing. You know, as a member of the, and one of the founders of the Tea Party here in Mississippi, I was gung-ho on debt reduction and yada, yada, yada. And then it came to, you know, I came to start looking at this stuff. And I still think there's a problem with having too much debt. I'm not abandoning that reality, because if it doesn't paper out, it doesn't make sense. But the bottom line is that Germany was under, held a lot of debt when it collapsed, and before it collapsed, when Hitler was riding high, etc. Where did all that debt go? It just got forgiven by the hustlers who hustled the dollar bills and the currency across the globe. This is the reason why they're going towards Bitcoin. They act like Bitcoin was a rogue invention. Bitcoin was created by the same people who created all the other currencies. And under Bitcoin-type currency or electronic currency, the debt won't matter. The debt will be whatever. You know, if they decide they want to forgive all the debt of Venezuela, well, they can't. They don't have to show where they're getting the money from to forgive the debt or pay off the debt. Because with Bitcoin, all they got to say it exists. And as you know, the economic system and capital system is built on faith and credit.
Well, and that's the problem with the capitalist system. I like the free market system that was backed by sound money. And why that was important was that there wasn't the full faith and credit of the United States. You know, I mean, giving the United States Congress a blank check, or more importantly, blank checks in a checkbook to keep writing these checks against future debts and obligations, we cannot ever retire that debt with the debt money that we've been given, the fiat money system. And yes, go ahead.
No, no, but you're precisely right. That's why they're going to Bitcoin, because it's not backed by anything other than the fact that they say it's covered.
Yeah, but that's not going to fix anything. Because
it will fix it. Actually, what it'll allow everybody to do to whistle past the graveyard. If they tell you, hey, John, your mortgage is paid off, don't worry about it. You're not going to go in and say, well, where's the money coming from? You're just going to say, okay, paid off. I mean, it's all a scam at the end of the day. They want total control, because under electronic money, it goes just what the Bible says about you will need to be able to buy or sell unless you take on the mark. And this is where we're going with the whole Bitcoin thing. So what you're saying is true about the debt as relates to being able to be backed by something. That's what we grew up on with that understanding. They're moving towards where it's all just X's and O's, debits and credits, zeros and ones.
Well, and that is not sustainable. By the way, old Al Gore, when he was vice president under the Clinton regime, and this was, 25 years ago, Janet Reno, the then attorney general, there was Lloyd Bentsen, his secretary of treasury, there was the vice president, Al Gore, and there were a few sundry other politicians. And this was on C-SPAN, and this went out live. And they're holding this meeting, and supposedly it was, for security of the country. They were looking at the housing developments in Chicago and talking about putting up light bulbs in the highway hallways so things look safe. But then they talked about doing operational gun sweeps, block-to-block houses, search and seizure, and the dynamic entry and all this stuff. And Al Gore actually held up a prop card, and he used this term. He says, this is the new government ID that we want to introduce, and you're not going to be able to buy or sell unless you have the card.
Right.
Man.
That's where we're headed.
Yeah. And there's a fast move right now going to digital currencies, and they want to wipe out existing currencies. You know, when you and I were growing up, when you had a whole dime and you were able to go to the candy store and you dropped that on the counter, it had a peculiar ring to it. It rung. It didn't thud. We actually had money that was made out of silver. And that was important because constitutionally, the Congress of the United States was set the weights and measures of the coinage of the realm, and that kept the currency stable. But, you know, and like you've said, you know, we watched the hucksters and the shuckers and the jivers get in there manipulating everything. We got about 5 minutes left here. Anything that you...
I can take about 15 minutes into the next hour if you want to.
Great.
For any questions.
Good. That would be super. All right. Well, if there's any callers out there that want to just shoot a quick call in here, 800-313-9443. I have one offline question here. Mark in Georgia, he said, would you address the broad brushing of all Muslims despite the different sex differences?
The broad brushing of all Muslims in the different sexes? Basically, is he asking about the women's rights in Islam? Is that what he's asking?
Well, he didn't identify, but he just used the term broad brushing of all Muslims, despite the differences in the different...
Sex, S-E-C-T-S.
Yeah, okay. Not sex, not S-E-X. I'm sorry.
Well, the bottom line is this here. This is why our government is in a very precarious situation as it relates to our safety. They keep saying when they have all these murders and terrorist attacks that they can't find any connection. The connection is in the Quran. In the Quran, there's a passage in there that talks about all Muslims are ordered. If they feel that they are oppressed, they have to do everything and anything in their power to end that oppression. If you tell me I work for you and you tell me I got to work overtime every day and I feel like that's an oppression, I have a right in scripture from the Quran to kill you if that's the only way I can get you to ease up on that overtime you're putting on me. And this is the thing about the Quran. They don't need to meet at a Holiday Inn and say, hey, you're Al-Qaeda, I'm ISIS, we're going to go get, you know, the Republic Network, yada, yada, yada. That's not the way it works. The Quran is its own instruction. These are infidels. President Obama will go down in history, if I might sidetrack here and answer this point, as the greatest Muslim conqueror outside of Prophet Muhammad himself, as what he's done with the United States of America, bringing it to its knees. But to the man's question, it doesn't make a difference. The sex that he talks about emanate from the fact that all the various offsprings, cousins, uncles, nephews, etc., Prophet Muhammad use their lineage to say that you follow me because I'm his nephew, I'm his stepson, yada, yada, yada. That's where the sex come from. But the bottom line is they have one Quran, and one Quran instructs them to kill all infidels and all those who won't submit to Islam.
Well, and, you know, I'm, you know, the more I hear this stuff, Kim, you know, I look at this and I go, you know, what God do they serve?
It is the God of, it's Satan. I mean, it's you know, and I can say that after having, I spent 15 years trying to prove who Jesus Christ was not. And at the end of the day, I had to bow my knees. I had to return home to Christ.
All right, we're coming up here to the top of the hour. I can hear the bump music in my ear. Kim's agreed to stick around for another 15 minutes. 800-313-9443 is the call-in number, and we'll field those calls until we run out of time. And we'll do that just here in a few minutes. Folks, don't forget the network is in a pledge drive. We need your support. There's only two of the alternative media out there, folks, of which I helped create. Dial us at 800-724-2719. If the Spirit moves you, hit extension 3, make a good donation. We'll be back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. About 90 seconds.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.